Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray before we open up Matthew 2. Do be turning to it. Father, thank you so much for this very familiar passage from Matthew's Gospel. Thank you that Matthew wrote down the eyewitness account of what happened. And we pray that as we think about it now, we would hear what you have to teach us. And that we would be made even more confident in following the Lord Jesus ourselves. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we know the story, don't we? Or we know the account. Matthew chapter 1, Joseph's being a normal man about town, and he's doing his job. He's engaged to this girl called Mary, and suddenly his life is interrupted by an angel. It doesn't often happen. And the angel tells him that Mary's pregnant, she's going to have a baby. It's not his, but don't worry, it's God's. So you can go and marry him anyway. But by the way, call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That happens. The baby happens. That's in Luke's gospel. And then we get to Matthew chapter 2, which probably happens 2 or maybe 3 years after the birth of Jesus. We know that from the second half of Matthew chapter 2, where we find out that Herod is after all the children who are basically toddlers. So he wants to catch Jesus, and he knows to catch Jesus has to get all the boys who are toddler age and under. So we assume that Jesus must have been a little bit bigger than a baby boy now. He's a toddler. And these men from the east, the Bible doesn't tell us there were three. It tells us there were some magi, and they came and they followed a star. Magi were people from what's probably now Iran or Iraq, and they knew the skies. They spent their time looking at the skies and reading the signs from the times. I guess like a cross between ancient astrologers and ancient academics. Those two pursuits crossed over in the ancient world, less so now. I think people like Russell Grant and Mystic Meg put that to one side and showed that astrology doesn't actually lead us anywhere at all. But these chaps, they were astrologer academics. They would have invented that iPhone app that tells you what all the stars were had the iPhone been around at the time. It wasn't, so they didn't. They knew the skies. And suddenly there is this star in the sky that they have never, ever seen before. And they know to make their way following this star. Now, how did they know to do that? Had they followed other stars in the past and found amazing things? We don't know. We're not told. But what we do know is that God, in his kindness, in what theologians call common grace, used their own pursuits, their own things they were into, to somehow speak to them, to cause them to follow this star. We see that kind of thing happening these days still, don't we? And there's a number of us in our church family here and at St. Luke's who, over the last year or two, have picked up a Bible at home. Why? Did anybody tell these people to pick up a Bible? No. But God, in his common grace, put it in the hearts of people to pick up a Bible. Maybe if this is you like reading. And the Bible looked like a good challenge. One up on Dickens or Shakespeare or something. 17 up on Dan Brown. God used his common grace just in the same way to cause these wise men, these magi, to itch with wonder about this star. And they followed it, and it took them west to Jerusalem in the end. Presumably they got into the country where they thought the star was over. Now that sounds a bit mad to us, doesn't it, God could cause a star to be presumably somewhere towards the horizon, and as the magi walked towards it, it then stopped somewhere, somehow, over this country. But we've just sung, haven't we? We've just sung, "Who has held the oceans in his hand? Who has numbered every grain of sand?" And then we sang about Jesus' hands having felt the nails, but also put stars into place. God can do that. If God can create stuff, God can make stuff do what he wants it to do. And they ended up in Jerusalem, the capital of the country they'd been led to. And they somehow know that they're looking for the king of the Jews. They asked King Herod. They asked King Herod, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Now, that would be a little bit like turning up at 10 Downing Street, knocking on the door, and good old Sir Keir answers the door. And foreign geezers, they say to him, "Hello, could you tell me where the Prime Minister is?" And you can imagine, can't you, the shock on Sir Keir's face when somebody is asking him where the Prime Minister is, because they've heard there's a new Prime Minister. But that shock is up 25 times for King Herod. King Herod was a typical ancient king who ruled by power and force. And he's being challenged by these guys who he's not seen before. He doesn't really know where they're from necessarily, but they look wise and they sound clever. "Where is the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Well, Herod is challenged, isn't he? Herod's authority to be the king of God's people is challenged. He thinks that he is the one who indeed does rule all of God's people, that he's in charge. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. The idea of being disturbed means shocked, horrified, very unsettled. All of Jerusalem is in some kind of fairly quiet uproar. They don't know, the people of Jerusalem don't know what's going to happen next. You see, when one ancient king challenges another ancient king, there's going to be a war. And thrown into the mix here is that Herod was the Roman's puppet king. So if you challenge Herod, you're challenging Caesar. No wonder all of Jerusalem was disturbed with King Herod, because they would think that their fate is absolutely tied up with his. So Herod calls together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asks them, where is the Messiah to be born? And they know straight off where the Messiah is going to be born. The Messiah, God's anointed forever king. Where's he going to be born? Well, they know their Bibles, these chief priests. You'd expect them to, wouldn't you? And they go straight to Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the nations of Judah. The rulers of Judah. Why? For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Where's God's chosen forever king Messiah going to come from? Bethlehem. So, Herod calls the Magi back to him. They've presumably been in a B&B somewhere. And he calls them and asks them ask them to pop off to Bethlehem and go search for this child carefully. He's wanting to sound very, very wise here. Go search for this child carefully. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go to worship him. And at that point, Herod stood there in his cloaks with his fingers crossed behind his back, because he knows full well what he's going to do. If there's a child who's been put up as the replacement king, well, he's going to find this child, isn't he? He's going to go there, looking like he's going to worship the king. But actually, he's going to get rid of this challenging infant. So the wise men, after they'd heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they weren't disturbed. They were overjoyed. And what do they do next? On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. Here we have a bunch of foreign astrologer academics. And they're kneeling, worshipping a small child. They know what to do about this small child. Complete opposite reaction to Herod and all of Jerusalem with him. Herod and all of Jerusalem are disturbed. The Magi worship him. They're overjoyed to be in his presence. And they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I guess that's why Christmas cards have three wise men on them, isn't it? Because there's three types of gifts that are mentioned in Matthew's gospel. We don't know how much of each one there was. It could have been loads. There could have been three caravans of camels, as far as we know. But they opened up these gifts for Jesus, gifts fit for a king. Gifts fit for a king who's going to die. And having been warned in a dream to go back to not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. So we've got these two very, very different reactions to Jesus. We've got disturbed, go away, going to kill him, and we've got I'm overjoyed, I'm going to worship him. And we see those two similar reactions in the world around us today, don't we? How many people do we hear of, often in comment sections after newspaper articles on the internet or on Facebook or Instagram posts or something, where people are absolutely pulling, or they think, pulling the Christian faith apart and poking fun at Christians, and Christians wanting to be, them wanting Christians to be completely cancelled and silenced. Why? Well, they're disturbed, aren't they? Disturbed that there are people who hold to a faith which is exclusive. Yes, it's open to anybody who will believe, but it's exclusive in the fact that the claims of Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, tell us very clearly that there is only one way to the Father. There is only one way to God. There is only one way of truth. And that's found in the Scriptures. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world as God's chosen forever King to reveal God to people uniquely. People are disturbed by that, offended that there is another claim on truth apart from their own. Just like Herod was disturbed and offended that there was another claim on kingship apart from his own. And just like all Jerusalem went with Herod and was disturbed, the number of likes or retweets or whatever of anti-Christian rhetoric is enormous, isn't it? But we also see the same reaction as the wise men, as the Magi. People who come to Jesus, they find that this Jesus is the real deal. And they're overjoyed. And we've seen that this Christmas, haven't we? We've seen people come to church this Christmas who don't usually come to church, and they find themselves overjoyed. Overjoyed to be singing of Jesus. Overjoyed to be amongst Christians. And we've seen some become believers themselves over the last few years here at St. Andrew's, which is just such a wonderful, joyful thing. People overjoyed to be with Jesus. Overjoyed to be worshipping him like these Magi did. So I guess our two take-home things today are, number one, don't be surprised that Jesus divides opinion, that Jesus divides reactions to himself. Some push him away. Some are overjoyed to be with him. And secondly, how do we respond to this Jesus? Most of us here would call ourselves believing Christians who, like the wise men, have figuratively knelt at the manger and do worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But there'll be one or two amongst us here who still need to make that decision. Who are you going to side with, if that's you? Are you going to side with Herod and Jerusalem at his time? Or are you going to side with the Magi? Are you going to keep Jesus over there and be a bit disturbed by what he has to say? Or are you going to kneel at the manger alongside the wise men, alongside millions, billions of people since, and be overjoyed to be worshipping the one who not only put the stars in space, but who felt the nails upon his hand for you? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus into the world. Thank you that he was the one who he came to the earth as your anointed forever king. That he grew up, he taught us all about yourself, and that he died on that cross in our place that we might have life. Please would you grant that we will be like those wise men who knelt at the manger and worshipped him. Amen.